Welcome to the Shadowbane Podcast. Tonight, 1692 The Risen, Episode 6, Holy Smoke.
Sarah, have you finished the wash this morning? I don't seem to have a clean shirt to wear to court. My love, did you hear me? I was wondering if you had the chance to hang the laundry this morning. It's been so hot a summer as of late, I can't imagine it would take long for it all to dry. What are you doing? You know that I have to be at the court within the hour. Why are you so well dressed? Don't you have more cleaning to do today?
I plan on going out this afternoon. The rest of the housework can wait until I return.
What do you mean? Are you heading into town to Mr. Primbley's shop? If you need anything for dinner tonight, I will gladly pick up whatever it is on my way home from...
If you must know, I plan on going to the courts today.
What business do you have at the court, Sarah? Please don't tell me you're so worried about me that you plan on following me to work now. I promise you that I'm feeling much better and—
That's not why I go to the court, George. I'm going to hear the case of Elizabeth Proctor.
Goody Proctor? But why?
Do you really need to ask why I would go to town? Elizabeth and John are good people, George. They're no Sarah Osborne or Bridget Bishop. There's no way that they have trafficked with the devil, and I'm going to court today to show my support for her. God knows she needs as many people there as she can manage.
Goody Proctor is on trial for bewitching children, Sarah. That isn't a charge so lightly ignored. The court has been called upon to decide her fate. Your going will do little to change their minds. Or the evidence presented against her.
So you would have me sit at home and do the mending and cooking as if nothing at all is happening in the town of Salem? Elizabeth is a close friend of mine. I will not stay at home when she soon faces the end of a rope.
I understand that you want to be there for Elizabeth, but what is there that can be done? The court will hear the case, and they will make the decision. There's nothing you or anyone else can do. The courts are only listening to the accusers now, and if they find her guilty, she will be hanged.
If the courts will listen only to those rotten children, then so be it. However, I'll still be going, and if I must, I will speak up in her defense.
Nothing that you say is going to help Elizabeth. Her name has been spoken, and she will more than likely sit in jail for it. I'm not saying I agree with the girls. But I am an official of the court, Sarah. What will Hathorne or Cotton Mather say if my wife comes marching into the court and basically says that the girl's testimony be false? Aren't you worried what might happen? They would fire me, say that I'm unfit to do my job, or perhaps worse. What if they accuse you, Sarah? You've seen what has happened to the Outspoken. Do you not remember the fate of Martha Carriers? She was among the first hanged in the town. There's a thirst for vengeance and blood running throughout Salem. I will not lose my wife amidst their search for devils.
George, I understand well what is happening. The court is getting away with these arrests and hangings because no one is standing up to defend those put on trial. I am my own woman, and I decide the actions I must take. They are not in any way connected to you or your affiliation with the court. Judge Hawthorne will either listen to me or he won't. Either way, I'm going to lend my friend moral support. If it were me facing trial, would you not be there to defend me? Or is your duty to the court so important to you that you'd watch me be sent off to the gallows as well?
The wash is hanging on the line in the backyard. You'd best get dressed soon. We have a long day ahead of us.
Enter!
Your Excellency, might I have a brief word with you?
That seems to be all we ever do, Cotton. What is it that you want now?
I know that you are busy preparing for today's trials, and I don't wish to keep you long. However, I wanted to speak to you about an odd dream I had last night.
Do I look like your wife, Mr. Mather? Speak with her about the events of your bedroom, not I.
Sir, I beg of you to please listen. Late last night, I was getting notes together for today's case against Goody Proctor, and I must have fallen asleep at my desk. I had been working much of the evening, and I had a bit of drink after dinner as well.
Get to the point!
I had this vision last night as I slept, but it was so real, as if I had never fallen asleep to begin with. I was in my room, and I was shaken awake by this massive storm. The winds were blowing like mad.
You do know that it did indeed storm last night, Cotton. Perhaps your dreams came about due to the climate of the air. Is not uncommon.
It wasn't just a storm that frightened me so, Judge Hawthorne. Indeed, it may seem as if that is what precipitated what I am about to tell you, but there is far more to my dream. So much more. When I went to close my window, I was visited by the spirit of Martha Carrier.
Goody Carrier, you say? I would not think too much on it. You witnessed her body hanging from the noose at Gallows Hill. It is only expected that such an incident has yet to leave your mind. Even though it was God's will, still the sight would be an uneasy one for most people's constitution. It will get easier, Cotton, I promise you that.
I swear that isn't what is happening, Your Excellency. She spoke to me. She warned me about something. Some force of evil out there come to get us all.
For such an intelligent man, a Harvard graduate, your constant worrying surprises me. Are you not a man of God? Whatever you saw, whether real or a fabrication of your own mind, is obviously referring to Satan. Remember our role here, Mr. Mather. We are the protectors, the guardians of this town. We will dig deep and root out Satan's evil influences. And we shall send the corrupted, one by one, to their deaths.
My house was set aflame, John! She told me that the church would burn, and that I would meet the same fate as her. There were dead bodies crawling beneath me, as my neck was wrapped in a noose. My body was paralyzed, and the only sensation I could feel was an unbearable pain in my neck as my body fell. I could hear the crunch of my neck being snapped to the side, the sound of the rope swaying with the breeze, the pain of those teeth, those hundreds of hungry mouths, all devouring me at once. I could barely stand it. No matter what I told myself, I could not awaken. It was as if I were under a spell. I finally awoke after what seemed an eternity. My wife was calling to me, shaking my arms. Eventually, I regained my senses. And when I did, I could still feel the pain in my neck, and I could smell a sulfurous stench. I thought it was some lingering aspects of the nightmare, my mind playing a sort of deceit. But my wife said she could smell it as well.
Cotton, what are you trying to tell me? Goody Carrier could not have been the one to attack you. Her soul has already been sent to hell, where it belongs.
I know that, sir, but perhaps something else is out there, some other witch taking her form. Or, if not a witch, something worse. For you see, sir, when I managed to rise up out of my chair, I went into my bedroom, took up my wife's hand mirror, and I looked at my pale face. On my neck were strange marks. I've done my best to cover them up before coming to see you, and I promise that I can show you, sir, if it will help you believe me. However, you must promise not to be alarmed by what I'm about to show you.
My God.
This mark appeared somehow overnight. It goes completely around my neck, and if I'm not careful, anything beyond light pressure causes the scarred flesh to, well, to burn.
And you swear to me, and before the ever-watchful eyes of God himself, that this is not some wound of your own doing, and one truly supernatural in nature?
Sir, I did not inflict these wounds upon myself. I was awakened by the callings of a dead witch, and the last thing I remember was hanging from the end of a noose. The markings are unmistakable. Witchcraft must be to blame. And I must confess, Your Grace, that I fear not only for my life, but for the innocents that have come to court today to watch these proceedings. Perhaps it'd be best to call off Goody Proctor's trial and hold a special council meeting with the other judges and officials of the neighboring towns.
Absolutely not! We will handle this situation in the most direct manner. If that means we must bring forth every single witch and wizard in Salem, then that is exactly what we will do. They have attacked us from the shadows of our nightmares, because they know they hold no power during the light of day. We will drag each sickening, cowardly follower of Lucifer into this very building protected by Almighty God. And once they are found guilty, we will hang them under the blazing sunlight for all to see. These people of darkness will soon witness a great light. A holy radiance will dawn on those living in the land of the shadow of death. We will find out who has done this to you, Cotton. And when we do, they will pay for their actions with their worthless little lives. Fear not, Mr. Mather. You are under the protection of the court. The court and God.
Judge Hawthorne, I...
Unless you have some other series of scars or marks to show me, I would ask that you please go prepare the courtroom and see to it that the accused is brought in out of the jails. We begin within the hour, and I still have preparations to make.
Of course, Your Excellency.
I will have quiet in the courtroom! That will be enough, Abigail Williams. The next testimony will come from Ann Putnam, Jr. It appears Ann Putnam is not in court. Does anyone know where she might be?
Your Honor, Ann Putnam was attacked last night in her sleep by an unknown force of hell. She is in the adjacent chamber, but she has told me that she cannot gather the will to come in here and face the Goody Proctor out of fear. You see, it was Goody Proctor who came to Ann Putnam and afflicted her dreams. Her will is shaken, Your Honor, but she has gathered enough strength to be here to see Goody Proctor marched out in chains.
Can you believe all of this? How can they blame such a kind, caring person like Elizabeth for all of this? It's downright preposterous!
The court will come to order! Mercy Lewis, this means you are the last witness to testify against Elizabeth Proctor. Please take the stand.
Of course, Judge Hawthorne. Two weeks ago, I was just finishing leading my little brothers and sisters in our nightly prayers and getting them into bed when I felt something strange surround me. It was as if something or someone unseen were watching me, following my every footstep. I got ready for bed, and once I closed my eyes, I felt it, a heavy weight pressing down upon my chest. When I tried to pry my eyes open, something that felt like sharp pins scratched my eyelids. I tried to move my arms, but when I did, clawed hands grasped at them. I managed to finally open my eyes and I could see.
There is no need to fear. Goody Proctor cannot hurt you. We are all protected by God here. You are doing his work now. Take as much time as you need, my dear.
I stared up at the face of a woman, or what seemed like one, only with dark skin that resembled the bark of a tree. Her eyes were red and ablaze with like tiny balls of searing flame, and she did not have a single stitch on her body, but her form no longer resembled anything human at all. She had four spindly arms that twisted and contorted like tree limbs from her torso. Each one held me with such fierceness. No matter how hard I tried, I could not move from under the force of her arms. A noise came from her throat that must have been laughter, but sounded like the crackling of a campfire. Finally, she spoke to me, and it was hard to fully understand, but it is something that I will never forget for all my life. She said, "The devil ordered those Indians to murder your parents. He was there watching the night you were forced to see their heads smashed open, spilling their brains everywhere, staining the white linens crimson. You and your brothers and sisters will soon be reunited with them in hell." Unsure what else to do, I struggled and spit at her, and some of my saliva hit right in her left eye. A bit of steam rose from those fiery orbs, and in that moment there was a flash of light and the face changed. Looking down on me was the angry face of Goody Proctor!
Order! Let the girl finish!
Her face turned back, and she screamed so loudly that my ears ached. "You should not have done that, Mercy Lewis." And then a thick black smoke rolled from her mouth, and she leaned in and kissed me. I began to choke on the smoke, and before I knew it, I lost my senses and passed out, unable to breathe. I awoke the next morning to my brothers and sisters shouting. Weak and barely able to move, I pulled myself out of bed, stumbled into their room, and found their window covered in thick black soot or ash. We went around to the other rooms and windows and found them all the same way. Only in my room, the soot was also spread across my sheets. Every night since, I've had terrible nightmares about my mother and father's death. She's making me relive the moment every night. I cannot sleep for fear of losing my parents all over again.
I believe we have heard all of the testimony necessary. Unless the girls have anything else to add? Well then, given today's testimony and the court's mission to seek out and deliver God's punishment to all of those involved in the Black Arts, I find you, Goody Proctor, guilty of the crime of witchcraft!
How can you do this to an innocent woman? You didn't even let her or anyone else give proper defense! All you did was listen to her accusers! This madness must stop!
My verdict has been rendered, and you will be silent!
No! We will no longer sit here and watch our friends and families taken away from us to rot in the jails and end their lives at the end of the rope! When will this town's thirst for blood and death be satisfied? How many more of us will have to die before this witch hunt ends?
Who is this woman? What makes you the expert on the matter of witchcraft? Marshal Herrick, come remove this woman at once.
What are you doing? You're going to make me take you out of here in chains if you don't stop now.
You'll do no such thing, George. You can't let them do this. Work for the court! Speak up! Tell them there's no way she could bewitch anyone! There must be some other answer for the strange happenings around Salem! It's not our fault!
Sarah, I know Goody Proctor is innocent. It's just that the court...
Damn the court! This is wrong, George! We can either cower to their tyrannical rule and wait to be dragged away ourselves, or we can speak up and save our friend!
Did you hear that, Your Excellency? She directly damned the court!
Stop it now, Sarah! You don't know what you're saying!
If you are so brash as to blatantly speak out against the court, we must wonder your greater cause. Tell me your name.
My name is Sarah Herrick, Your Honor, and I am just one of many that knows that what you are doing is hurting innocent people.
Marshal, perhaps you need a moment to speak with your wife. I'm not sure she understands the gravity of her words.
Oh, I am well aware of what I'm saying. I'm speaking up for those too frightened to say what everyone else already knows to be true in their hearts.
Marshal Herrick, I warn you!
I'm the one speaking, not my husband! If these events don't stop, there's going to be true hell for everyone involved.
Your Honor, I feel hot.
What is the matter, child? Does something afflict you?
I don't know. My body, it aches. I feel like it's...
Cotton, go check on the girl.
Your Honor, her body is exceptionally hot. She's burning up.
Oh, dear God!
Quickly, everyone, to the exit at once!
Bring water! We have to help this poor girl!
Come on, Sarah. We have to go. Now!
Water does nothing, Your Honor!
Sarah, please, let us go.
Oh, Lord, protect us all.
Thank you for listening to 1692 The Risen, Episode 6, Holy Smoke. This episode was written and produced by Andrew Lister. The voice of George Herrick is David Milk. The voice of Judge Hathorn is Rob Lucas. The voice of Sarah Herrick is Sarah Mears. The voice of Cotton Mather is Gene Michael. The voice of Mercy Lewis is Haley McCarthy. 1692 The Risen is a production of the Shadowvane Podcast. For more information, visit our website, shadowvane.net. Email the show at shadowvanecast@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at shadowvanecast, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/shadowvanecast. To further support our show, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to today's episode. To help provide monetary support, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/shadowvane. We'd like to extend a special thanks to our patrons, Dolores Schilling and Stacy Carpenter. We are also a member of the Questionable Endeavor Media Network. Visit questendnetwork.com for more shows like Tuning Japanese, the Rundown Wrestling Podcast, Raw Attitude Podcast, the Slasher Sanitarium, New Blood Rising, the Reanimator Podcast, Breakfast Lads Tribunal Podcast, Perilous Pretenders, and our newest show, And Sometimes There's Scotch, a horror movie review podcast. Illustrations and creative editing by Ray Williams III. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can listen to more of his work at incompetech.com. Until next time, dear listeners, until next time.
Pedro loves Tuning Japanese. What say you, my friend Menchi?
And I guess I'm here too.
If you're looking for wacky reviews of anime, check out Tuning Japanese,
a podcast where three dudes in their 30s talk about anime.
Only on the Questionable Endeavor Network.
Do they drink too?
A little bit.
I do.